For God so loved the world, all of us, you and me. He loved us so much, he sent his only son, Jesus. The firstborn of creation, sent to take our place, to bear our burden, to suffer our consequence. We were far from God, but God didn't want to be far from us. Jesus came to bring us home. As a prodigal returns to their father, so too could we return to our Creator. A simple plan with just one requirement. Belief. For whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have life. Life eternal. At the very heart of God is love. Indescribable, unrelenting, unstoppable love. That love shines a light, guiding us home. For God so loved the world.
Good morning and welcome to all of you that are tuning in on live stream. We are so glad that you've chosen to be a part of this service today. We welcome you. I want to begin with a story that reveals a good bit about judgment and grace, which will be the focus of the message today. Years ago, when Karen and I lived in Pensacola, we were both stopped by the police about a week apart for two different reasons. Karen had the first experience. She was driving to school to work one day, and there was a school zone that was very, very slow, and Karen was driving very slow, so she said. And she was pulled over, and she was the first thing, you know, if you know Karen, she's a little more combative than I am. And I think she said something immediately to the officer like, "I cannot believe you pulled me over for driving so slow." And anyway, the end of the story for her is she got a ticket, and she was going like 30-something miles an hour in a very reduced speed zone, and she was fuming about that. She didn't agree with that determination. Well, about a week later, I was coming into Pensacola from a very long trip, and it was late on a Saturday night, and I was on Scenic Highway, and I was moving along pretty good, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there are the blue lights. So I pull over, and as the officer is walking to my car, I start thinking, is this the time I pull my pastor's card out and say, "I'm out on an emergency"? Not exactly telling what the emergency is. But then by the time he came to my window, I thought, "I'm so sorry, officer. I know I was going way too fast. I've been on a long trip, and I'm only like 2 or 3 blocks from my home." And you know, he let me off with a warning. Well, when I got home, I shared with Karen that good news. But you know what I got from Karen? I got her judgment. "The nerve of you not to get a ticket. You were really speeding, and I got a ticket when I was driving so slow." Have you ever been guilty of something, but someone extended to you grace and forgiveness? That's what we're going to speak about today. We've been unlocking this beautiful verse that has changed so many lives through the years, John 3:16. And today we want to review just momentarily, for those that have missed the previous week, We began by talking about God's extraordinary love, that He loves every one of us, that this love is unconditional, this love is understanding, this love is universal, and it is unstoppable. This love is amazing. There's nothing greater than the love of God, no force greater in the world than the love of God. The coronavirus is not stronger than the love of God. God's love is greater than anything else in the world. It's greater than hate. It's greater than anything that could ever happen to us. The second week we looked at John 3:16, we focused more on how that He gave His Son, that He gave His Son, that He sent His Son. And His Son was born through a virgin birth, the miracle of incarnation, that the Word, think about it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus, during the time He was walking around on the face of the earth, it was as if the Bible was walking around. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was Jesus, and He walked on the face of the earth. It's a miracle. He also had 3 years that we know that He taught about the kingdom of God, and He spoke of miracles, and He performed miracles and great things, and He gave us so much in the teachings that we adhere and we follow and we seek to follow today, His teachings, His word about the kingdom. And then, of course, God gave His Son to die on the cross, that we would have salvation, that we would live, and that we would know this salvation, this grace of the cross. He gave His Son. And then last week we looked at faith, that whosoever believeth in Him, we focused on that phrase, and faith is synonymous with trust, it's synonymous with belief, and faith is a foundation for all of us to build our lives. When in a time like this, in this most unusual time, this is our 10th week of not being in person in worship. And this is a time where our faith helps us move forward. We know that we live by faith and not by sight in all things. And God has the future, and He has our well-being at heart. And we only need to trust Him and walk by faith day by day. It's a foundation for us. And then faith, it not only stops there, faith can change me. When I put my trust in God and I go through difficult times and good times and all of life experiences, faith can change me. And I hope you've known how faith can change you. And then faith changes the church and the world. And that's the good news that we have as the church, that this faith that Christ offers to us and teaches us about, this faith can literally move the mountains in our life, those obstacles, those difficulties that stand in our way as we live and walk by faith. And today, I want to draw more focus toward the ending of John 3:16 and also John 3:17. The ending of John 3:16 says that whoever would believe in the Son or in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So whoever would believe would not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the good news that we have for everyone. The church, this is the best news we have. Over the past 6 years, I've had the privilege of conducting a lot of celebration of life services in our congregation. We've had numerous deaths, and most of the deaths were folks that lived life so well in the church and through the church and lived lives of faith. And so those services were celebrations of life. And those services, they don't have to be morbid. They do not have to be dreary. But they can be a real celebration of life, because this teaching in John 3:16 is really for us every day of our life. That God loves us every day of our life, and then when we come to the time of our death, or a loved one comes to the time of their death, we have this promise that we will not perish, but have eternal life. And so for those of you that have had deaths in your family, those of you that may have known someone that has died from the coronavirus, John 3:16 speaks to us that God loves us, and He sent His Son to the world that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now, John 3:17 is a verse we'll take a look at the next two Sundays, because it helps us to see some of the deeper meaning of John 3:16. Why did God? This tells us the why. Why did God send His Son into the world? Let's just read it. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You know, we live in a time where there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of vitriol, there's a lot of ill will, judgment, if you will. We tend to be judgmental instead of grace-filled. We may love the idea that Jesus died on the cross for us and extended His grace for us, though we did not deserve it, but yet we are not grace-filled and extending grace to others. We want the grace, but to others we extend the judgment. Well, God's grace is to help us, to save us, to forgive us of our sins, but it's also to be extended to others. This is a real problem in our world today, I think, and perhaps this time in a coronavirus time of quarantine and still limited trips away from home, and many of you are just staying home all the time. This is a good time for us to reassess this good news of God's grace. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, The Grace Awakening, back decades ago, wrote some words about why he wrote this book on grace, and I think it applies to our world today. Chuck Swindoll says, "Scarcely a day passes when I am not reminded of the need for a book emphasizing the full extent of grace. Giving people permission to be free, absolutely free in Christ. Why? Because so few are. Bound and shackled by legalists, list of do's and don'ts, intimidated and immobilized by others, demands and expectations, far too many in God's family merely exist in the tight radius of bondage, dictated by those who appointed themselves judge and jury. Long enough have we lived like frightened deer in a restrictive thicket of negative regulations. Long enough have we submitted to the do's and don'ts of religious kings of the mountain. Long enough have we been asleep while all around us are grace killers do their sinister nighttime work. No longer, Chuck Swindoll writes, it is time to awaken. The dawn is bright with bright grace." And just a little bit more. "Too many folks are being turned off by a twisted concept of the Christian life. Instead of offering a winsome and contagious, sensible, and achievable invitation of hope and cheer through the sheer power of Christ, more people than ever are projecting a grim-faced caricature of religion on demand. I find it tragic that religious killjoys have almost succeeded in taking the freedom and fun out of faith. People need to know that there is more to the Christian life than deep frowns, pointing fingers, and unrealistic expectations. Harassment has had the floor long enough. Let grace awaken, Chuck Swindoll says. Now, that was several decades ago. But did we not connect with some of what's going on in our country and our world today? Why not use this time of the coronavirus crisis, reset, reboot, to have a grace awakening, to awaken to this good news of God's grace for us, as we read about in John 3:16 and 17. God did not come to judge the world, but to save the world by sending Jesus. We, in our tradition, in the Wesleyan tradition, we are people of grace. This is our home field. This is our strength. And we teach that grace is always reaching out to us. It's been called the wooing of God, wooing of God. And God is wooing us. And God is reaching out to us even before we know that there's a God. Some of you listening to this service today, you may not even believe in God, but let me share with you that God is pursuing you. God is pursuing you with His grace. He's reaching out to you. He loves you. And He's reaching out to you, and He may be using a lot of different ways to get your attention. Is the coronavirus crisis, all that's going on with that, has that gotten our attention? God didn't cause the coronavirus, but perhaps, as the Scripture teaches, He uses all things for good. Perhaps He's getting our attention about some things. And this is God's pursuing grace, His prevenient grace, wooing us to Him. Sometimes God uses hardships in our life to get our attention. So if you're going through a hardship now, it is a great time to say, Lord, I hear you. I'm seeing the need to draw closer to you. I know you're reaching out to me right now. Sometimes there's an emptiness in our life, and we don't know what to do with that emptiness. And God uses that emptiness to say, I'm reaching out to you. I want to make you full. I want to give you this abundant life in Jesus Christ. Sometimes God uses other people in our life to speak to us. I don't know how God might be speaking to you today, but I am convinced that God is pursuing every one of us. And He does it in different ways. He has, as George Marsh used to say, He has a secret stairway into every heart. He is pursuing us. Secondly, God's grace justifies us. God's grace justifies us. This good news of Jesus dying on the cross is the best news ever. And this is our opportunity to respond to God's initiative in His pursuing grace, His prevenient grace. This is our chance to say, yes, Lord, I receive your grace, this gift. I do not deserve it, but I receive this grace, this gift that you are giving. As I arrived here this morning early, I was walking out of my office, and I heard a bird singing beautifully. It was as loud as I have ever heard a bird sing. And I thought, where is this bird? And so I looked around, and the bird was perched on top of the cross here on the Shalimar campus. And it was just a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment. David Garvin and I, we tried to capture this on a video, but he flew off just about the time we were ready. But I thought, what a great way to begin the day. This bird is singing out the praises of God's grace from the cross. And it was a moment I'll never forget. And that moment's there for all of us today. And it'll be a moment we've never forgotten if we've never received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross. But it's all we need to do is to say, yes, Lord, I receive your grace that you've given for me because of your love. I receive this grace. And receiving this grace is all we need to do. God wants to extend his grace. He wants us to receive his grace. This is the good news of his justifying grace. And thirdly, God wants us to grow in this grace all of our life. He gives us the grace to grow. So if we've been saved a long time, and many of us have been saved a long time, our next step is to grow in this grace of Christ if we're not already growing. And this grace grows all of our life. John 3:16 is so profound, but so simple. And isn't it amazing that 50 years, 60 years, 70 years after reading John 3:16 for the first time, because our life changes, because we go through many stages during the course of our lifetime, that this word speaks to us in every season of life. This word speaks to us this good news of salvation. We never grow tired of hearing these words because these words are new, like the bird on the cross. They bring joy to us every day, this grace of God. Are we growing? It takes a lifetime to grow as a disciple. I hope you'll use this time of being at home more, being in a different routine. I hope you'll use this time to make the top priority growing in your walk with Jesus. Growing in reading his scripture, in praying, in spending time with God in prayer, in fellowshipping with other people, even if it's by Zoom or some other method, that you'll spend time fellowshipping with other Christians so that we can help one another grow. In the coming week, we will have the final session of our 144 groups. And we've had several in our church to journey for 12 weeks in a 144 group. 10 different groups have journeyed through this time. Even when week 3, the coronavirus came and we had to do something all different, we could no longer meet in person. And we had 10 of our teams to continue to meet by Zoom. And just talking to the leadership this past week, they've had good experiences. And that's the nature of this growing in God's grace. If we'll take a step to grow, God is going to meet us there and he's going to help us grow in amazing ways. His grace is amazing. Well, almost done this morning. I need to say that this grace of God is a gift. And for many, this is the stumbling block. For those that pull themselves up by the bootstraps, and I know that we have many in our congregation, they like to live pulling themselves up by the bootstraps and responding and meeting their own needs and crises head on. So grace is hard for us. It is hard to believe that God gives us something that we did nothing to earn. We did not earn it through our work, through our perspiration, through exhaustion, but it's a gift and it's available to all of us. But Paul describes this gift in Ephesians. It is a gift, Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. None of us are worthy for this gift, but the gift is offered to us nevertheless. We're all within reach of this gift of God's grace. Paul describes this gift in 2 Corinthians 9 as an indescribable gift, and it is. It's hard to put words on God's grace, this gift. But he says, Paul says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. But before we finish this message, it would be incomplete if we did not pay attention to the words of Paul also in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? God's grace is a free gift, and it is extended to every one of us. But let us never take this grace for granted. Let us repent of our sin. Let us turn from those moments that we know that God was not directing our actions. Let us repent from those moments and turn toward God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called this, when we receive the grace of God and we make no changes in our life, this is cheap grace. We cheapen what God has given to us at the total cost of death on the cross. So let us turn from anything that is not pleasing to God. Turn away from that and turn toward God so that grace may abound. And what a wonderful image in this world right now. That in this time where there's so much hatred and vitriol, who knows, this time of the coronavirus crisis might be the greatest time in history for the church, for we regain this grace awakening. We regain that it is by grace that we are saved. We regain this message that it is grace that we extend to each other. And it is this grace that leads us all the way home, even into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, may grace abound all the way into heaven. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your grace, for this gift, and that it's for all of us. May we receive this grace, say yes to this grace. May we grow in this grace and make a difference in this world. And may we extend grace to each other and live by your way of grace. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.